This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Are you bored at work? Listen to the Superhuman Channel daily. Catch older episodes of Superhuman Radio, plus listen to Superhuman Radio Live every day at 1 p.m. Pacific.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first half hour, we'll be talking with Doug Smith about the transition of True Protein to True Nutrition, why and what the impact is to those of you who have fallen in love with the company. Then we will have our normal, usually scheduled Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa, a.k.a. Professor Dr. Andro. I can't wait for the day that I don't have to do the a.k.a. and everybody knows him as Adele Musa, and his Facebook page reflects that as well, where Adele Musa will apply the Subversity sniff test to science that is in the news today. You'll get the true story here. Let's get started. Doug Smith, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. It's been over a year since I've had you on the show. I had you and Dante Trudell, the two of you who started True Protein from meager beginnings and turned it into a massive empire, and recently have undergone a change. Talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, well, recently, probably I guess about 6 months ago, it's been a long time coming. For the last 3-4 years, we've been planning changing the name from True Protein to True Nutrition. Kind of obvious why we made the change when we first started about 10 years ago. Primarily what we offered was just protein powders. So the name was kind of logical. But as time progressed, years went on, you know, protein powders kind of was still our game, but it included everything. So it was logical to change to True Nutrition. So we relaunched with our website, and obviously anybody that goes there can see some of the changes that we have. Let alone the change in name, but also kind of change in products that we sell. Instead of selling just True Protein or True Nutrition products, we sell everybody's products now. We tried for a long time just selling True Nutrition or True Protein products, but we learned in the process of business that most of our customers, including Dante and myself, we use other companies' products.
So no, don't tell me that. You guys actually don't. Yeah, no, I know, right? And so really this, I gotta believe that this had more to do with, a convenience factor. You probably have gotten feedback from people who've said, you know, I buy these things from you and then I buy those things from that guy and those things from that guy. It'd be great if I could just get it all from you.
Exactly. You know, we kind of pictured ourselves as being a one-stop shop, and it really started from, you know, the two founders, myself and Dante. If we're going to the local supplement shop or somewhere online to purchase things outside of our product line, then it shows we're not doing our job for our customers. So that's kind of, you know, why we made the switch and why every week we're bringing on new products, new product lines, and we plan on growing that. Really what we want to be is a one-stop shop that has limitless amounts of dietary supplements, health food, things of that sort. We really want to make it, you know, the most expansive and broad scope for all of our customers, beyond any other competitor out there.
Well, now, I mean, you've gone beyond nutrition as well. You even have, you know, books, DVDs, all sorts of stuff, right?
Yes, we do. And our plan is really, you know, as you know, in the process of becoming healthy, it's not so much using supplements. It's also everything we put in our body, and that includes foods. So we've really, in the last few years, realized that the market itself has kind of forgot that foods really are the best supplement out there. And what we want to do is start focusing on that as well.
Okay, now there are some big players amongst this field, companies like bodybuilding.com and so.
Yep.
Now, obviously, you're big enough to be able to, quote-unquote, buy right, buy at the right prices to pass along. But one of the listeners of Superhuman Radio posted on our Facebook page, and I'm going to tell you, it's Amit Ram. He's from Israel. He said he's tried to do business with you guys in the past, but shipping to Israel seems to be very, very expensive. Do you think that the other players are getting better deals from DHL than True Nutrition? That's what he asked. He says because when he buys from some of the other companies, they seem to be $10, $15, $20 cheaper in shipping. Do you think that the DHL relationship or the shipping relationship is something that will actually change now that you guys are doing more volume?
Yeah, it will. And shipping is one of those things that I know when we first started business 10 years ago, we understood it was that necessary evil, but we didn't realize how much a key component that was to our business. The reality is actually the big competitors of ours, they actually don't even ship international. And there's reasons for that because I would say 20 to 30% of all international orders, at least on our end, are fraudulent orders. So the cost, let alone to ship the material to legitimate customers, there is also the take of when we send something over there, it either gets lost or it's fraudulent.
What do you mean by fraudulent? That the person is not who they say they are? They use someone else's credit card?
Exactly. So it's really difficult for us. You know, there's a whole ton of checks and balances for domestic, Canadian, European countries, but other countries, there's not a real good check and balance to make sure if somebody says, hey, this is my credit card, this is what it is. So that's always been this underlying issue. And I think that's always an underlying issue. It'll always happen. And hence why many of our competitors, they won't even ship international anymore for that reason.
Now, when we talk international, North America, the entire Canadian market is not a problem getting product to.
No, we about maybe 6-7 years ago, we actually had a distribution center in Winnipeg, Canada, because we understood how important the Canadian market was. And what happened was is it was very successful, but we weren't actually, it was kind of like we were making a dollar and spending a dollar at the same time. So we learned a way, actually working with UPS, to kind of send pallets all up at one time. So instead of shipping individual boxes, we send a whole ton of boxes at once, send them up to one distribution point, and then from there they get distributed out. The main problem with shipping to Canada is taxes and duties. You know, there's nothing worse than a customer ordering $50 of protein and UPS coming to their door going, you owe us an additional $40. And that, you know, if that happened to you, you wouldn't be the happiest person. So we've kind of eliminated that, went through all these tons of hurdles to get this done. But yeah, North America in general, we kind of view Canada and the United States as kind of one entity, because for us, we kind of figured out how to ship consistently to, you know, either the 50 states or Canada.
I'm just curious, and you may not know this, but it just dawned on me. You know, we seem so restrictive for American businesses who want to do business outside of the United States internationally. Like you just said, you know, there's all these duties and other fees just to get a product into a different country. Is it that way coming into the United States? Do we charge those types of fees to?
Yeah, actually, there's a few countries out there, Australia, France, Spain. There's a few that are a little more difficult to get products into, and mainly the reason why it's more difficult is because we're essentially selling commodity food type products into that country, be it eggs, be it milk, be it soy, something of that nature. And a lot of the countries protect their farmers that that have farmers that grow milk, that grow eggs. They don't want exterior products coming in, basically watering down their farmers. So they tax anything coming in, and vice versa. For us, it's fairly easy because we're already in the United States. But countries trying to import into the United States, I've heard it's a nightmare. So, but the one key thing we do have between Mexico and Canada is the NAFTA agreement. And the NAFTA makes it very easy, you know, the trade relations and taxes and whatnot. There's still taxes and duties, but if you do it right and you're smart about it, it can be really lessened.
Well, with that being said, is it difficult? Are there some taboos about shipping certain food products to other countries? I know, like, for instance, in the UK, they don't allow us to import beef, I believe, because of our whole mad cow thing.
Yep.
Does dairy fall in that category that you can't ship protein powder to the UK?
Not the UK. They're fairly, you know, the whole European Union. It's not really difficult to get product in there, but I know it's costly. Depending on the country, it can become costly. There is some countries like Korea, for example. Korea protein powder, although it's a food product, is illegal.
Illegal for people to buy inside of Korea?
I don't know if it's illegal to buy, but when we have tried to ship there, yes, it is illegal. So there's a ton of weird rules, and we've tried to stay abreast of all of them, but with so many countries out there, and it's really random. Occasionally we'll get some orders from countries, and I hate to say this, but I've never even heard of them before. So for us to research fully what is acceptable, what it's going to cost, it's so difficult.
Last question about shipping, and we're going to take a break and come back and talk more about the product expansion. What about the military that's overseas, right? So you have guys in Kuwait. I did a show about 3 years ago with Nate Morrison, maybe 4 years ago, saying that if you have somebody that you know that's overseas, you should ship them protein powder.
Definitely. And for us, that's actually a huge end of our business. And we love it, actually, because although it's technically international, the U.S. government makes it very simple to ship things to other countries as long as it's a military address. So anybody overseas that's serving, they are at a military address. So essentially it's like me shipping something to Los Angeles or New York. It's essentially the same thing. The government takes care of it. So that's, you know, we don't have to really ship it. Let's just say if we're shipping it to Kuwait, it's not essentially shipping to Kuwait. It's going there, but it looks, the mail service looks at it like an American address.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And last question, USPS, they've really worked their way into the affordable shipping world with these flat rate packages, priority.
Yeah.
Do you guys offer international priority shipping for a guy like Amit Ram who's in Israel?
Yeah, we do. We basically leave it up to the customer. We will say with, you know, the United States Postal Service, between basically 1 to 2 pounds up to about 9 pounds, they might be your best bet. But with that being said, although they're cheaper, nothing guaranteed. You know, if you go with UPS and you pay an extra few bucks, if it does get lost, it is fully replaceable because it's insured as well as fully trackable. You know, use the United States Postal Service. It'll say that it shipped. It will give no tracking, and it will say that it was delivered. But at that point, you should know it was delivered. So,
all right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up with Doug Smith. Later in the show, Adele Moussa comes on to perform the Subversity Snip Test on science and the news so that you are not misled by the mainstream media, because that's what they do best. You will find the truth here at SuperHumanRadio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com. superhumanchannel.com today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar, not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies, and no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1, LONGR3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Doug Smith from True Nutrition. I was just scanning your site. I see that you carry the Quest protein bars.
Yeah, we do. We carry actually every day. Literally, we're adding new and new stuff every day. So, and even myself, I'm not even sure what's on there. So
you got to get the two new Quest bars, the new chocolate crunch bar and the new peanut butter cup. Oh my God, man.
I'll go through the inventory today and take a peek at them.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, now obviously the mainstay, the thing that made you who you are, actually, for those of you who don't know the story, True Protein really spent no money on advertising per se in the traditional sense.
Yeah, nothing.
They actually spent money on their customers. They rewarded their customers for referring new customers and built a protein empire on that foundation. For those of you who love or have loved True Protein for that reason, they can still go there and blend all their own personal blends, right?
Yes, if anything, we've only expanded the proteins and the carbs and the fats and the different additives you can put into our custom modules.
Like, give me some examples of some things people would be surprised that they could add. Let's say a guy says, I'm going to blend my own whey protein. I'm going to go to TrueNutrition.com. I'm gonna pick a whey protein, and then I want to add some things to it. What are some of the things that people would be surprised that they can add to their mix?
I would think most people are probably surprised at the different array of proteins that are out there. Most guys in the know that say they take protein powder think protein powders whey, and that's that. And although we have quite a few different type of whey proteins, from isolates to concentrates, grass-fed, organic stuff, the different varieties of proteins from materials is kind of surprising to some people, like pea protein or a potato protein. And some of these proteins, although they're not kind of the status quo, or they don't have the name behind it, in some cases they're better than, you know, the whey proteins. And that's usually the toughest thing to stomach for most people. But what I always say, if, you know, if a customer has been using something and it's working, they always are thinking, should I be using something else? And my question is, why would you even think that if it's working? So
yeah,
it's always a difficult half and half situation.
I received a Facebook message this morning from a woman who listens to the show, who said that she's gone to your website a couple times to try to blend her own protein, but it's confusing. Do you get that kind of a thing from people, or is there a tutorial up on the website that shows people how, what steps to take?
Yeah, we do, and for good reason. We've kind of kept it. To us, it's very simple. I mean, it's essentially a very simple deal where there's all these different type of proteins and carbs and fats, and you can mix them in a certain percentage. And as you adjust it, it shows on the right-hand side what the nutritional value of that blend is going to be. But, you know, for someone to say, hey, I know exactly I need 10% of this or 50% of this, they don't really know. We always have kind of said that the custom part of our site is for people that are fairly sure and understand what they need for their body and their goals. And that's why we kind of have all these pre-blended proteins and different type of
So really, I have to believe that so many people have created so many blends, and you as a company have picked up on some of these blends and their popularity, that you just go, hey, let's just make this a standard product.
Definitely. And, you know, there's sometimes, too, although, you know, we're processing hundreds of orders a day, so it's very difficult to police everything. Occasionally, we will see something, and it's before we actually make it, we know it's not going to be, it may work great, but it's not palatable, and we won't be able to drink it. So we try our best to catch everything and say, hey, let's reach out to the customer and kind of steer them a little better, you know, in a better direction than what they were going.
What have you added to your offerings that perhaps you never thought you would be in that business, or was the farthest stretch for you as a company?
I would think probably, well, if you told us 10 years ago we'd be offering other competitors' products, I'd probably slap you. But we realize that, you know, even us, if we're taking other people's products, there's nothing wrong with offering that to our customers, you know. If they want it, we're going to give it to them. So that's kind of the first. And then the second would probably be, you know, 10 years ago, our whole thought was the milk proteins, the egg proteins. To know all the how expansive a lot of these vegetable proteins have gotten. And, you know, when you say vegetable proteins, most people think soy protein. That's not for me. That's for a woman. It's wrong. It's incorrect. So I think a lot of the science and a lot of the knowledge that goes behind it, at least for us, you know, we've learned the last few years that that's different. So that would probably be our biggest surprise.
Yeah. And so so now we have to talk about, since you talked about vegetable proteins, you have a vegetarian and vegan line. What percentage of your business would you say is that? Because guys like Mike Mahler, who works very hard, Mike is a vegan because of his spiritual belief for animals' welfare. Mm-hmm. And I have to respect somebody like that, as opposed to saying vegan is healthier.
Yeah.
So, but Mike knows, hey, look, I'm not eating these animal proteins, so I have to work extra hard to make sure I get complete amino acid profiles. And he uses lots of different protein powders as a result. How large of a market is the vegan side of this for you guys?
I would say probably 25 to 35% of our market.
Wow, that is shocking to me.
Is vegan, vegetarian. Well, you have to understand too the reasons why that came about. Our main focus years ago was a fairly hardcore bodybuilder, super understanding of supplements. Individuals, you know, like trained,
highly
really
intelligent, not a newbie, not an early, more so an early adopter, right?
Exactly. That was our niche. And then I would say maybe 2-3 years ago, kind of by chance, the whole milk commodity market went haywire. And what happened was supply got really super tight. Cost of any milk proteins, especially whey proteins, I mean, literally doubled. And hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. Got to cut out. Literally, the whey protein doubled in price. And because of that, our customers were complaining to us that they can't afford it anymore. So we seeked out different alternatives, and the alternatives happened to be different vegetable proteins. And as we looked into it, we realized that the amino profiles of these, in most cases, were better than the milk proteins. So when we just started offering that, especially at the cost, you know, they were half of the cost of a milk protein, it kind of stuck. And when we started offering these, people outside of our usual scope of our industry started finding us. So I think that's really how, you know, our market turned to 25-35% buying these type of proteins.
What happened to the milk protein business? I remember what you're talking about. I remember back in probably 2008, I want to say, 2009, one of the big milk protein suppliers, the plant blew up or something. It was outside the United States. That impacted.
Yeah, well,
what has happened to milk protein that's made it so much more expensive? It's actually gone up in price again just because of the economic challenges, right?
Yeah, I think, well, a few years back, the story goes like this, and, you know, this may be a little morphed. It may be some fairy tale, but this is what was told of us, is that some large key players like Pepsi and Coke were getting into the game of sport nutrition with Gatorade and whatnot. If you remember, Gatorade kind of came out with a product.
Yeah, a low protein product.
Exactly.
Yeah, like 8 grams of protein, right? Like they were excited about that.
Exactly. But when you have a company like that moves on a product, they literally remove the entire raw material market. I mean, for everyone. So what happened was everything was allocated to these guys. So the supply was really tight, but we still had the same demand. And since the supply was really tight, the cost went way up. So we had to, you know, obviously then pass it off to our customers. So that's essentially what happened. Afterwards, my theory is I think people have just been kind of playing a game, the powers that be, as well as, you know, the economy just got bad as well, just kind of with the trifecta of everything happening.
Well, has drought affected and or gas prices affected the prices of whey protein?
Yeah, of course. Gas prices, of course, are always going to affect the cost of anything. So, you know, milk is a heavy material. You know, it weighs over 8 pounds, 8 pounds per gallon. So to ship this stuff around, to the different processing facilities and then spray drying it, it's an expensive process. So that definitely is part of the cost as well. You know, since a lot of these proteins do come from different countries, we don't source any of our milk proteins from countries like China or India. However, a lot of people do. And because they may have droughts over there, it affects the total world market on milk.
Yeah, very interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. You know,
it's always one of these big pictures. So a lot of people always say, like, you know, you guys are only gouging us and you want to make more money. And I try to explain that it's really bigger than all of us. It's a commodity market. It's not like we're trying to sell, a fat burning capsule. It really is a milk commodity market.
We're coming to the end of the interview, and I would be remiss if I didn't say that a great deal of your success had to have something to do. A great deal of your early success had to have something to do with Dante Trudell's creation of a style of training that was called dog crap training that earned him not only a great deal of respect, but almost a zealot-like following amongst bodybuilders around the world. And then when you guys launched the protein product, they were like, we got to buy this guy's protein. Do you think that had anything to do with your early success?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, just the notoriety that he had, as well as, you know, I mean, I obviously know Dante really well because I've known him for over a decade. But he really, truly is a genuine guy. So how he speaks, how he writes, people respect that. So anything he puts his name on and behind, people are going to respect that. So it definitely was a driving force initially, without a doubt.
Well, there you go. True Nutrition, they're a sponsor of Superhuman Radio. There's a banner ad on superhumanradio.com, truenutrition.com. Check them out. You'll probably find something that you were looking for in combination with something you weren't looking for right there on their website. Listen, Doug, thanks so much for sponsoring. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Cool.
All right, take care.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Adele Musa on as we perform the Subversity Sniff Test to Science in the News. You've waited, and here it comes. We'll be right back.
Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Two of Age Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available is a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This segment of Superhuman Radio is brought to you by Subversity.com, the one and only place to get your supplement, nutritional, training, and health information, subversity.com. How do you like that, Adele? That was good, right?
Oh, that's much than the compliments you're usually giving me.
Well, you know what? It's funny because that song, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that's the theme song from an American radio, a TV show called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Will Smith. And I was trying to figure out how I could use the Fresh Prince of Science and Technology as your introduction, but I couldn't. My mind doesn't work that fast, so I apologize. So there you go. Next time, I will make you blush.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing I want to talk about and apply the sniff test to is more discussion about telomere length. Obviously, I use a telomerase activator, and lots of people out there are becoming more interested in the relationship between telomere length and aging. And you recently sent me some research that points to maybe telomere length as a different gauge of aging. Let's talk about that.
Well, that's a study that comes from Spain, from the University of Madrid. And in essence, it is a new perspective on telomere length, in that we have long believed that you are born with a certain telomere length, and this would determine how long you can live, because the telomeres actually are important in order to repair and replicate your cells. And the initial thought was that once your telomeres are used up, your cells won't be able to repair and they will die. And obviously you won't be able to produce new cells. Then research has been going on, and we have found out that the telomeres can actually be lengthened and shortened. And our bodies are well able to, first of all, protect them and also to renew them, at least to a certain extent. And to slow down the progression of aging by simply reducing the reduction in telomerase length. And interestingly, this new study from Spain shows that it does not really appear to be that important how long your telomeres are, but rather how fast they are shortening. So not even how short they actually are at the moment, but whether they are getting shorter at a 10 times faster rate or at a 100 times faster rate than usual would determine how long you still have to live.
Okay, so now, are we not just splitting telomeres here? Ha ha ha, it's splitting hairs here. If you're taking a telomerase activator, and the end result is it either slows the shortening of your telomeres down, as opposed to the objective of making them longer, are we not achieving what the goal is here?
This is not really certain in how this would really translate. The actual research we have now would translate to applying any technique to artificially lengthen or your telomeres again, because the thing the scientists really found out is that it appears to depend how many new short telomeres you are seeing in an animal, in this case in mice. This was the most reliable predictor of the lifespan of those mice. And it is quite interesting that if you trace that back and try to find out what actually increases the shortening or the speed of the shortening, it always comes back to the same things, that is stress and inflammation and oxidation. And in the end, you can also argue that one thing we have lately often heard, that is the activation of the telomerase enzyme that will actually lengthen the telomeres, could be dangerous because it could, for example, precipitate cancer. On the other hand, this is a very normal reaction that appears to happen when the other antioxidant defense systems are so weak that actually the cell cycle is in danger of breaking down because the telomeres are shortening so fast.
Right. So it sounds like to me that a telomerase activator in concert, at least from what you're saying, in concert with the proper antioxidant regimen, is probably a prudent approach if you believe that maintaining telomere length can be achieved not necessarily lengthened, but telomere length can be stabilized with a telomerase activator. Okay, now I want to just stay within this segment that what we're talking about. And I want to deviate just a little bit to talk about one of my favorite penchants right now, and that's alcohol consumption. I am convinced that I have aged dramatically in the past 2 years as a result of my regular consumption of alcohol during the week. It used to be just weekends, and then it became 4 or 5 days a week. And I see changes in myself that when I look at pictures from just 2 years ago to now, that can only be explained in my mind with the introduction of alcohol. Talk about the study from Helsinki and the relationship between telomeres and alcohol consumption.
Yeah, in Helsinki they did a so-called businessman study. I think it's because the subjects in the study were actually businessmen, or could have been in terms of their backgrounds. And what they actually did was they measured all sorts of different metabolic variables, and this is also one of the few real larger-scale studies where they actually also looked at the telomerase length. And what they found was that in those subjects who consumed alcohol on a regular basis, and not like binge drinking, but just a regular basis, as we've been talking about before, there was, regardless of adjustments for smoking, body mass, cholesterol, and fitness levels, clearly pronounced reduction, or I should rather say, in view of the aforementioned study, an increase in short telomeres in their older ages. And if we translate the results, the latest results from the rodent study directly to this human study, this means that those subjects who have appropriately or purposely a shorter telomerase length due to the alcohol consumption will actually live a few years less than those who didn't drink. But in the end, this is not really proven, and it's only just another epidemiological study, but it's still interesting because it is actually something we see with other purported oxidative damage and stress as well. So this actually shows that even minor amounts of alcohol can be stressing. And maybe also in particular subgroups elicit the exact opposite effect of those people are expecting when they're reading about the benefits of moderate alcohol consumption. Because I would suspect that those businessmen are among those people who are already stressed, and where the hormetic effect we have been talking about in the previous shows will not really benefit them because it adds to an already existent overload of stressors.
Right, and someone like yourself, who by introducing alcohol consumption in moderate amounts into your diet and lifestyle would actually probably cause you greater stress because your internal dialogue is this: I shouldn't be doing this, and that actually would have the opposite effect of what the regular consumption of alcohol would do. So it comes back down to, in my humble opinion, the linkage between things that trigger stress and its effect on, or the hormetic effect on telomeres. You think that's a fair assumption?
I think it is. And there's actually quite good research on the effects of antioxidants on the beneficial effects on exercise. That's coming from, I think it's Leipzig or another German university where one of the researchers has gotten some global attention when he first published his data that showed that antioxidant supplementation before training blunted the adaptational response that would increase the insulin sensitivity. And he has since published several papers which all hint at the possibility that there is a magic level of stress you need in order to keep those endogenous antioxidant systems And in this case, I would count the telomerase enzyme among them to keep those chugging along. And if you exceed these beneficial levels, you will see problems in as much as you will see problems when you suppress any stressors and don't get the appropriate, in the case of exercise, radical oxygen specimen signaling that would keep those endogenous antioxidant systems running.
Interesting. All right, we have to take a commercial break. Is there anything else? Anything else we want to talk about? I mean, you sent me so much good information on telomere and relationships to things like cancers and so on. Do we want to come back from the break and wrap up telomere and cancer, or do you want to move on to something else?
Maybe we could talk about the cancer connection and then hop on to the epigenetic changes due to folic acid, because I found that interesting that of all of the various methylation issues, Dr. Skinner mentioned folic acid when you talked to him about possible risks, and I think that this is something most people won't be aware of, that this is another case of a good thing that can go bad when you take too much of it.
Too much of a good thing. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will continue on with Adel Moussa. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adel Moussa applies the sniff test to science in the news. Visit subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com today. We'll be right back.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSupps.com. MrSupps.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSupps.com can deliver the goods. And no one beats MrSupps.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSupps.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSupps.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSupps.com. That's MrSupps.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. We're going to continue on a little bit longer discussing telomeres, telomerase, and relationship to cancer. This is a big concern for a lot of people who are opposed to telomerase activators. They say, well, you could cause cancer. And there's a lot of thoughts on that. As you once so aptly pointed out, Adele, cancer cells are already immortal. They already overproduce telomerase. So what's the real linkage, or what can we tell about telomeres and cancer?
Well, when you do the research and look at the different cancer types, you will find certain types of cancer which already have very short telomere length. And this already defies the whole theory that it's all about having long telomeres and cancer cells having a particularly long telomere length. So it depends on the type of cancer whether they even need or really need to have or to lengthen their telomeres all the time. On the other hand, we all know that cancer is also precipitated by the very same mechanisms we've been talking about before, that is stress and inflammation and oxidative damage.
Right.
And if you think it from this perspective, you could even argue that the natural overexpression of telomerase, that is the natural lengthening of the telomeres, your body will induce or start will induce once it's exposed to too much stress and too much oxidative damage, could actually be the trigger. So in the end, there may be a connection, but on the other hand, we do not really have the research showing that. For example, the one currently available telomerase activator has been tested in, or at least in rodents, and has shown to lengthen the telomeres of healthy cells without increasing the risk of developing cancer. So
we're talking about TA65 now, right?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
There are of course issues with those studies being financed by the producer of the specific supplement.
Right.
But on the other hand, it only appears logical that just by allowing the cell to lengthen its telomere, you don't turn a healthy cell into a cancer cell.
Right.
And this actually segues quite nicely into the issue of folic acid supplementation, because with folic acid, we also know, or at least it is often claimed, that folic acid will protect you from developing cancer. And as much as this may be right, it will also help the cancer to spread and to survive when you already have cancer and start supplementing additional folic acid. Mm. And this is one of the criticisms people are currently bringing forward against the obligatory folate fortification of more and more foods, which really put the average American and possibly also the average human European adults at risk of consuming too much folic acid on a daily basis, because more and more people are also taking folic acid in supplemental form, and it is still a matter of fact that in our diet the type of folate that's in food is different from the folic acid in those supplements. This has the advantage of being easily produced, and it's also easily digested and taken up by our body. But on the other hand, it may be a water-soluble vitamin. That means it does not accumulate in the tissue. But if you take it on a daily basis in too large doses, it will accumulate in your bloodstream. And actually, this is not just a concern, but as mentioned in one of the latest reviews, there are more and more people who show on blood tests that their folic acid levels are way above the normal, and the possible consequences we already know about range from cancer, for example, an increased risk of breast cancer, an increased risk of ovarian cancer, and other forms of cancers, over things like thyroid misfunction,
right,
and other diseases that are getting more and more common.
So, and it comes back to testing. I think that people shouldn't be supplementing with folic acid unless they know that they're deficient in folic acid. And this is one of those things where if you're deficient, getting your deficiency corrected is a good thing. But using it excessively or willing, and I've said this before. The good news about supplements is that they work. The bad news about supplements is that they work. So you need to treat supplements the same way you would treat a pharmaceutical drug, in that there are excessive doses, there are dangerous doses, there are healthy doses, and finding out which that is, you first must know what you already have in your body. This is why probably the single most important reason to see a doctor is not necessarily so that he can treat you, but so that he can order lab tests on you. I have to tell you, the single most important reason to see your doctor is lab tests and pushing your doctor to test for lots of different things. I mean, thanks to Adele, I am not just looking at 25 hydroxy vitamin D, but I'm looking at calcitrol as well, right? Calciferol, right? As my vitamin D level as well.
Calcitriol,
thank you. And I'm not just asking for blood sugar levels, but I'm asking for C-peptide levels. I want to see what my insulin is. And, you have to know these things. You have to take responsibility for your own health so you can walk into the doctor's office and direct them. You don't go into the butcher and give me a piece of beef. You say, hey, I'd like 2 pounds of filet mignon, and I'd also like some short ribs. You don't go in there and just say, give me beef, and then they give you the scraps. You have to know what you want when you walk into the doctor, and you have to direct them. And lab tests are the single most important reason to see a doctor, period, end of story. But anyway,
and even without lab tests, especially in those people who like to take dietary supplements for performance enhancement purposes, you really have to be aware that many of those we have it all blends, as I like to call them, include at least 100% of folic acid already. So I've once been checking, and when I've been taking a pre-workout and a post-workout supplement of the We Have It All kind, and realized that I was getting 2 times the dose of most of the vitamins only from those supplements. And the first thing you should do is really read the label of the product you buy, and don't just look if there's salt in it or sugar in it,
yeah,
as people tend to do today, and then throw it away because it has salt and sugar, and whatever has a vitamin before it is good for you. That's not the case, especially not if you are not considering what you're already getting in your food supply. As, for example, there is an interesting study that showed that in postmenopausal women who get an additional 400 micrograms of folic acid per day on top of a medium intake that would be rather deficient of 250 micrograms, already developed problems with their immune system, especially with a certain type of immune cells. So this is not only the case for folic acid, but also for many other of those of those allegedly good vitamins. Most of them are actually good for you, but there is a clear-cut U-shaped dose response curve for most of them. That means if you are deficient, it's very bad. Then you've got a zone of optimal health, and when you're getting above that, they become as nasty. And in many cases, the side effects of having too much and having too little are almost identical.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, can we segue now to something else that's very interesting to me, and that is we know that the pharmaceutical industry is trying to repurpose statin drugs because the cat is out of the bag that statin drugs do not mitigate heart attacks, cardiovascular disorders, as they were purported to do so. So the pharmaceutical industry is trying desperately to find other reasons to keep people on statin drugs. They say they're anti-inflammatory. They say that they may be good for pain relief and so on and so forth. And one of the things that we know about statin drugs is that they seem to cause in some people, and especially in the highest doses, which Adele talked about in a previous Subversity science roundup, cause a certain degree of myopathies, which are these ghost pains in the muscles. Myalgias. And so there is some recent research I see that you dug up that looks at skeletal muscle, exercise, myopathy, and muscle outcomes when exposed to using statin drugs. What did you learn?
Well, in this case, that's a study from the Hedford School of Medicine at the University of Connecticut, and they had a look at the effects of taking a statin on the tolerable dose of exercise you can get by just checking on people who actually ran a marathon race or a half marathon for some of them, how taking a statin or not taking a statin influenced the muscle damage. And in this case, they measured an enzyme that's called creatine kinase, and I must warn you, whenever you do a really arduous leg workout and go to the doctor the next day and get blood drawn, he could tell you that you have to go to the hospital immediately because your kidneys were about to fail.
Right.
As this enzyme can be elevated 10 times when you are really blasting yourself out. But if you add a statin on top of that, this will multiply the effects by, in this case, I think 2.5 at least.
Wow.
And you need to know that these, of course, were the healthier people who are prescribed statin medication, who are still able to even run a marathon. And on the other hand, you always hear, even from those people who are in favor of treating the metabolic syndrome and associated diseases with drugs, that you can't do this without changing your lifestyle. And of course, this change in your lifestyle should incorporate a training. But on the other hand, taking a statin, at least in a certain way, will hamper your ability to do just that, because it leaves your muscle more vulnerable to the wear and tear of working out. And in this case, it's actually quite interesting to say that if you come to think about how the cholesterol system works, that is, the bad cholesterol, the LDL particles, transporting cholesterol from the liver or from the intestinal tract and the liver to the target tissue, and the good cholesterol transporting it back. You could even argue that without the cholesterol being a structural element of course, your muscle tissue, the latter will be more susceptible to damage.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say to you, is this exclusively the intrinsic effect of limiting the building block cholesterol from being able to cause the protein synthetic response to even occur in the first place?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really found conclusive evidence or conclusive research at all that would show that. But when you think about how our bodies work, there is hardly anything in our bodies that is only intrinsically bad, especially not if it's produced in the body. And if you think about times when cholesterol, or specifically LDL cholesterol, goes up, those are times when your body is in need of repair, when it's inflamed and tissue is breaking down, and also when you're taking anabolic steroids. Of course, they will have a damaging effect on the liver, especially the oral ones. But even if you're taking normal injectable testosterone, usually your LDLs go up. you could now argue maybe your body needs more cholesterol at the target tissue level in order to build the cell wall. But this is a mere hypothetical formulation of an idiot like me who knows nothing, because at least the researchers who conducted the original study we've been talking about are just bringing forward the good old QQ10 hypothesis, of which I think that it is certainly part of it, but can hardly be the most important or the only underlying reason of the increased damage. Because we have seen studies investigating whether supplementation with CoQ10 would completely eliminate this susceptibility to myopathies. But that's clearly not the case. It reduces the damage, but it does not really return your body to a normal state when you are quasi-cholesterol depleted.
Well, and this, we need to speak about the fact that cholesterol medications are trying to repurpose cholesterol meds as anti-inflammatory or arresting inflammation. Then the problem with this approach is this. There is good inflammation and there is bad inflammation. And I have a feeling that what Adele has stumbled on here in the area of the reduction in or the greater damage in muscle is a shutdown of productive inflammation. This is what it always comes down to. We always want the one thing. What's the one thing? The one thing. We cannot lump inflammation into a pile and say, well, inflammation is causing cancer. All inflammation is bad. No, there are appropriate responses of the body that require inflammation. Inflammation is like the alarm bell going off in a building that's caught fire. You don't want to say, well, you know what? The bell that the kid in the hall keeps ringing is annoying me. All bells need to stop. Well, then the alarm bell you can't hear and you burn to death. Inflammation has a purpose. And we can't just go, well, we need to arrest all inflammation. This is the problem with allopathic medicine. Now they're going to say, well, statin drugs reduce inflammation. Everybody should be taking them because they will reduce inflammation. Well, guess what? They're going to reduce the repair that accompanies certain appropriate levels of inflammation. Now, after me saying that, do you think that I'm far off base in the middle? Do you think that's an appropriate response?
I think that your idea is not only appropriate, but it's already proven. And we can again go back to exercise. And I think people will be familiar with the term cytokine or cytokine. That is, for example, interleukin-6 is one of those cytokines that are often called as inflammatory markers. And obviously, you do want to have them as low as possible. On the other hand, there are scientists who have actually shown, not just speculated, that those cytokines are also myokines. And this denotes that they are also released by the muscle tissue when you exercise. And when interleukin-6 is released by the muscle into the bloodstream and hits your brain or enters the brain, the reaction is an increase in fatty acid oxidation in order to accommodate for the increased energy expenditure during exercise and a blunt in appetite or in your desire to eat that has only been recently shown or recently been reestablished in human studies. On the other hand, we are again dealing with a U-shaped response curve where you certainly don't want too much, and what's even more important, you don't want to have chronic inflammation,
right,
as you get it from inflamed adipose tissue, for example. Although I'm not really sure whether we actually really know why it's constantly releasing interleukin-6 and other inflammatory cytokines, the main reason that obesity usually equates to metabolic syndrome and sickness is actually that it's constantly signaling inflammation. And the reasons for that are not totally clear, but there are different hypotheses, and one of them is that actually the problem is more or less that your adipose tissue is already bursting from the seams and loses structural integrity and can't take up any more fatty acids, and still it should. And it can't grow fast enough, so to say, so that it starts signaling inflammation. But that's just one of the many theories that are floating around out there.
Well, there's also a study that is about to be released that links something called endotrophins, which are related to fat cells, and its linkage to breast cancer, that these endotrophins apparently fuel the tumor's growth through an inflammatory response. And so it's clear that, you know, those out there who see obesity as simply, an unappealing form factor or an inconvenience or something like that, you must understand, if you are obese, even if you don't have the traditional markers of disease that doctors look at, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and blood sugar levels, you are a walking inflammatory lab experiment. And you are developing diseases that will manifest and be very difficult to reverse if you don't get your obesity under control.
The interesting fact, though, is that exactly the outliers to those rules, that is, the relatively slim people who are still very sick and inflamed, and the exact opposite, the obese people, well, not morbidly obese, but at least more than just chubby, who are completely healthy and free of inflammation, that those are currently attracting the scientists' attention because they want to find out what makes the difference.
Yeah.
Because when you are already in the trap, so to say, that is, you are already obese and totally inflamed, then it's a self-perpetuating cycle out of which you can often only escape by very radical means of suppressing the inflammation at first. And this is possibly also one of the cases where statins have actually shown some problem, some benefits.
Some promise, right.
To break the vicious cycle. But at the same time, you have to work on what will keep you from falling back into the old track that got you there, because
right.
Otherwise it's basically useless. And what we've seen, for example, with the surgical removal of body fat, especially of subcutaneous one, is that when you remove the subcutaneous body fat stores, which are obviously not aesthetic, but they are not really dangerous to your life, the reaction often is that the visceral adipose tissue expands
right.
to accommodate for that. And you end up maybe looking a little bit better. Usually you don't get the body you were desiring anyway, but you look a little bit leaner. On the other hand, you end up much sicker.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting because I know a lot of people who've had liposuction over the years, and these are people who are my age or older, and an interesting thing happens to them. They end up with what looks like a distended stomach. It's almost like there's more inside of them than was before, and this cannot be simply explained by organ growth. I believe that what Adele is pointing to was proven in research, that when you remove fat cells beneath the skin where they're easily accessible, the body responds because the body is intelligent and goes, okay, we're going to plump up the fat cells inside the viscera, inside the body, where you can't get to them that easily, and you probably will never get to them, because we're going to protect our ability to continue to produce, to store this fat. When you remove a fat cell, you create a dangerous chain reaction that actually can impair your health later on in life. So people need to think hard and fast before having radical stuff like liposuction and altering the landscape of your body to that degree. Getting a fat cell shrunken is a very, very different reaction by the body than removing the fat cell entirely. The body reacts quickly. It says, oh my God, we're in trouble. Let's build fat cells inside the body, inside the rib cage, in places where you won't be able to get to it. Very, very dangerous. Last thing I want to finish up on before we go to the break. The research on creatine kinase and statin drugs was not dose-dependent. In other words, any level of statin drug caused this 2.5 times elevation in creatine kinase response to exercise. Is that correct?
Yeah, and interestingly, it was not only not dose-dependent, because on the one hand, you usually get a statin at a certain dose, but it was even more more astonishing that it was not dependent on on the effectivity of the statin, because you have statins that are prescribed to people who have very low increases in cholesterol that are considered weak statins, and you have statins that are considered very strong because they are able to lower very high levels of cholesterol right. into the quote-unquote normal range. And what the scientists here found was that there was no statistically significant difference between those extremely strong and those extremely weak statins in terms of their ability, so to say, to increase the damage you inflict on yourself when you're running a marathon, or especially when you're doing, for example, eccentric muscle workouts at the gym, because those are the ones which usually really will let your creatine kinase enzymes explode.
Yeah, very, very good. Very important subject here. Because there's a lot of guys out there. I have friends who are on statin drugs. I try to convince them to get off. They go to the gym. They work out. They say that they don't recover quickly. They're not putting on muscle. Guess what? The statin drugs could be part of the reason. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up with more of the brilliance of Adel Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, and you are privileged to be listening. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
MassPro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes and instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Oh.
Today is Thursday, which means tomorrow is Friday. I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo to do our Casual Friday episode. Don't miss it. We got a lot of great stories to talk about, and I will be ranting tomorrow about something. Okay. Adele intimated a moment ago about the new research about the satiety effects of exercise. This is really an intriguing study. We know that leptin seems to be a magic hormone, and those who are the most obese seem to not see the value of leptin and its ability to suppress hunger. What's new in the world of leptin and exercise, Adele?
Well, there's an interesting study from Denmark, and the researchers looked at the response of 16 healthy male participants in their study who have been working out. And in this case, they were actually doing sort of a leg workout. They were running, of course, as you usually see in those studies. But in essence, it doesn't really matter if you... In these early stages of research, what type of exercise they are looking at, because the intriguing finding they made was that during the workout, the adrenaline response that the workout generates suppresses something most people won't be aware of, and that is the basal release of leptin from muscle tissue. And this is pretty interesting because you usually think about leptin as a sort of hormone that is produced by adipose tissue, and it's telling you that the more adipose tissue you have, the more leptin you should be producing. And this is actually the still most widely accepted theory that body fatness is one of the determining factors of leptin. And people who have been reading the series on the female athlete triad on the Subversity that I've been starting, or I've been writing for the last 2 weeks every Sunday, will also be aware that in those individuals, and I must say that this is not restricted to women, but in them it's most obvious because they lose their period, while men usually are overtrained in a very different way, and don't really have the sexual side effects, at least not in the early stages. One of the most fundamental determinants or of the characteristics is that women who suffer from this syndrome, and men, of course, also have a low or very low basal leptin levels. And interestingly, hitherto people have always been thinking that this is due to the reduced body fat levels. And so the main advice to women who are becoming amenorrheic due to exercise is they need to gain weight and they need to gain fat specifically. But with this research, we do actually have supporting evidence why this does not really work for most of the women, because when the basal leptin release actually depends on the amount of muscle mass in as much as it depends on the amount of body fat you are carrying, then just getting fatter won't solve the problem. And actually, if you look at the data that's out there, you also see that it's not really the gain in body fatness, at least not in terms of total body fat, but rather a complete regeneration, also with an increase in muscle mass that usually solves the problem. And, of course, an appropriate intake of nutrients. And if we translate these results to people in general trying to lose weight, then the message actually is that by building more muscle, you will not just be able to expend more calories, but you will also send your body signals that will help you, that will further help him or tell him that there is still enough tissue, so to say, available, and he does not really have to spare energy that could be burned off. And in that case, it's obvious that from the leptin that's released from your muscle tissues, it's not your muscle that will be burned as a response, but in general, body fat as well.
Okay, so could it also be thought that that leptin that is being produced by muscle, which happens to be different than the leptin produced by fat, correct?
I don't think that's different. I think the main message is that it has been completely overlooked.
Okay.
And if you look at what I said before, that it's suppressed by the adrenaline response to exercise, you will see that it will be also suppressed when you are stressed for other reasons.
Okay, and I want to address that separately for a second. But before we go that, is it fair to say that, you know, ghrelin is one of the hunger hormones, and leptin is supposed to be a satiety hormone, correct?
Well, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I know it's more complex than that, and I'm trying to kind of dumb it down a little bit. But can it be said that the more muscle you have, and thus the more leptin you produce, that you actually can stave off the desire of hunger longer than, say, if an obese person with very little muscle mass, you know, gives in to hunger at every step of the way?
Mm-hmm. Well, in case, I think that's part of the equation. Yeah, that's right. But a major problem with hunger in obese people is actually that they are starving despite the abundance of energy. Because if you can't get the glucose into your cells, you can eat as much sugar as you want, and still your cells will be starving, and your brain, of course, will be starving.
Right.
It's a real existent need of energy in obese people, because the brain can't take up the glucose that's floating around in the bloodstream, because it's insulin resistant, and the cells themselves, they sense that there is not enough energy for them, and therefore you're constantly hungry. So this won't really solve the problem of being hungry. But on the other hand, the leptin signaling is part of a cascade that can actually improve your ability to take up glucose again and to oxidize fat instead as an energy source.
Okay.
And if muscle can produce leptin, maybe it can also produce adiponectin. And this is another of the two major hormones produced by your fat stores, or of which we hitherto think that they are produced only by fat stores, that have actually beneficial effects on your metabolism. And adiponectin in particular appears to be more specific towards the management of glucose, of blood glucose, than leptin is.
Okay, so now let's talk about the adrenaline, introduction of adrenaline for a moment. What does this research show us or even allude to that could say something about the use of pre-workout stimulants, which elicit a greater adrenal response, and its effect on satiety and leptin production?
Well, on satiety, I'm not quite sure, because exercise itself, regardless of any leptin response to it, but also depending on the intensity of the exercise, has a certain kind of appetite blunting effect, especially if you work out really hard. If you work out long at a low intensity, on the other hand, and in that case, it's often the case that you will run out of glucose and therefore will also be in dire need of adrenaline to increase the glucose production in the liver, that afterwards you feel ravenously hungry. And this actually, I suppose, what Gary Taubes always refers to when he says that exercise is useless.
Right.
Fortunately, it is not. Only the wrong type of exercise and performed in excess is useless. Back to the leptin issue. If you just go by the currently available research, it will at least increase the blunting effect of exercise on leptin release. And what I think is even more important is that adrenaline is not just something you spike by using stimulants, but also by just being stressed out all day. And if you don't take those rest periods I've been talking about in the context of why having coffee and tea has an additional benefit beyond just the ingredients, that is taking a time out from your stressy life, this can actually precipitate a lower basal leptin level if you are stressed all day. And in most obese people, this may not be so much of a problem because they have got other issues. I've mentioned the insulin resistance before, and there is another term that's floating around, that's leptin resistance, which indicates that people who are obese produce more than enough leptin from their adipose tissues, so that they do not really rely so much on the comparably little amount of leptin that's coming from your muscle. But if you have somebody who is almost as lean as he or she wants to be, but really is struggling to lose the last fat reserves that are covering his six pack or her six pack or wherever you don't want to see the fat, then this can really become an issue. And I've personally experienced that in phases where I was really stressed out, despite working out regularly, and even more pronounced when I was trying to make up for lack of rest by taking stimulants, like just caffeine, for example, or even worse, the now no longer available geranium oil, right, quote unquote. That this actually usually has the effect of increasing rather than decreasing my body fat levels, regardless of whether I stuck to my diet and my workout regimen. Because in essence, whenever your body is stressed out all the time, it's like, oh my God, I can't expand this fat because I might need it tomorrow because I won't find enough food to eat. That's, you could say, an evolutionary programmed response of your body to chronic stress. Mm-hmm. And this is something I think especially people who are really struggling with those last fat reserves should think about. It's not about taking cortisol blocker or not taking stimulants, but it's rather about taking enough timers and trying to reduce your overall stress level.
Well, and it's funny. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Stress at the right time is good for you. When you are working out and are not stressed while you work out, you will, for example, not get the fat out of the cells. But when you are still stressed, when you're coming down and starting to eat, the fat cells will take up all the fat and the additional fat and or nutrients you are eating again in order to prepare for the next stress. And this is cyclical. You really have to keep this amplitude of stress up, stress down.
And interestingly enough, Dr. Jim Manganiello has agreed, and I've been prodding him about this, we're going to have a free Superhuman University seminar about practical ways of reducing and eliminating stress from your life. He has written on this extensively, and he's agreed to do a seminar. We just agreed on this yesterday. So I will release the news as it goes. Who knows? Maybe some stress reduction could be the answer to you getting leaner, staying young, because we know about stresses. Adele, it's amazing how many things that we talk about on this show have a linkage to stress, and how little we know about how to manage stress and how little we do to manage our own stress. It's just amazing to me. You know, so there's something to be said there.
That reminds me of a whole different issue, but it's totally related. I've posted on the Facebook wall of Subversity today a study on the effects of living in a bad neighborhood or in a neighborhood of crime. And even if the scientists accommodated or adjusted for all confounding factors like being poor, not affording the right foods, being obese and stuff like that, what they found was that kids who are growing up in a neighborhood where the crime rate is above average have higher C-reactive protein levels and significantly higher C-reactive protein levels than other kids. And their theory to explain that is simple. It's stress. And I think people are overlooking the daily stresses and putting too much focus on what you really what you usually consider as a stress. You can be totally stressed out, for example, if you are having family issues, for example. That can be much more stressing than working out 3 hours a day. And for and what's even more important, it's also stressing when you are out of the gym and lying in bed and trying to, to recuperate. And in this case, things like Qigong and other techniques, also meditation, all these things can help you. I'm not saying everybody must do it, because I know people have issues with it, and for some people, for example, doing Qigong would be stressing because they feel embarrassed or they don't feel good about them. But you really have to find your own outlet to take a time out from the regular stress of your life.
You know, I never thought that someone would have a problem with meditation, but I have to admit that there's somebody in my family that once I was talking to her about meditating, and I explained that my mantra was a Sanskrit word, and that I did not know the meaning of it. And the purpose was not to know the meaning of it, so that you don't, if you don't attach meaning to the sound, it's just a pure sound. And she said, how do you know that they're not making you say something that worships the devil? And I said, well, who cares? It doesn't matter. It has no meaning to me. And for that reason, she would not do meditation, because she said, if I can't know what the word means, then I'm not going to repeat it over and over again. And I think that is so friggin' narrow-minded. It's just unbelievable. It puts so much power in magical thinking. You know, it's like, really?
So. I don't think it's really that, but she's the perfect candidate of being stressed out all the time, because she's too worried about not having total control of her life. And we can't control everything. And if you look at many of the psychiatric diseases, many of them really come back to feeling your life is getting out of hand. And oftentimes those are the things like a COD, for example, where you try to enforce total control on another level, because you feel your life is not really in your hands. And our lives will actually never be completely in our hands. You have to agree to be comfortable with some sort of
randomness,
of lack of control. On the other hand, you should not rely on whatever you believe in controlling everything for you. There is a middle way you really have to find, where you actually can influence what's going to happen, but you can only do your very best to do so, and there will always be issues you can't control.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We have more science to apply the sniff test to. This is the Supversity Science Roundup, brought to you by Supversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. You want to be smarter? You want to impress your friends? You want to maybe even get a pay increase? Visit Supversity Daily, SUPPVERSITY.com. We'll be right back. I have never endorsed a training guide before. The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 1-800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
You ready? Welcome back.
I'm bringing sexy back.
I'm bringing Adele Moussa back. We are in the midst of a Subversity Science Roundup where Adele Moussa applies the Subversity sniff test to science in the news. Okay, so where do we want to pick up? We want to talk a little bit more about women and stress, don't we?
Yeah, I just realized that actually I didn't really think about the connection when I first put the study down into the notes of things we could maybe talk about. But there is a recent study from the Boston Medical School which looked at the weight gain in men and women in their early 20s to early 60s. And what they found sounds actually pretty discriminating against women, because women tend to gain much more weight and much at a faster rate than men. But one of the general findings, the first findings of the study was that the gains in body mass are most pronounced in the early 20s to early 40s. And if you think about what we have just said before, then those are usually the years you are under the most of this chronic stress.
raising miserable children.
Well, this of course, but also other things, because you want to have a career and life is insecure in a way, and you are also exposing yourself to positive stressors, of course. But oftentimes you see that stress really increases in those years. And it's quite interesting that the mean gain in weight is most pronounced in those early years. And in this year, the prevalence of obesity doubles in men, but it triples for women. And first of all, when I read the study, I have been thinking about hormonal contraception in this case, but when I come to think about it, I must admit that when I look at the women around here, then many of them are under double pressure and doubly stressed, because they are now trying to raise children and to be a good mother and to make a career. And for some of them, at least, this is certainly increasing the stress load, and therefore could precipitate the differences in weight gain.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And also, there is a linkage between estrogen and adrenal response. A couple good studies that I read probably almost a decade ago that show that as women near menopause and estrogen starts to drop, their ability to manage stress diminishes as a result of estrogen's effect on blunting the response of the adrenal glands. Women get the whammy when it comes to gaining weight, and you're probably right. There is, I'm sure that there is a very large stress component to that. I have complete belief in that.
Yeah, and women also continue to gain weight into their sixth decade, while men start losing weight at that time. And both of the probably is due to the hormonal changes. In men, certainly, because most of the weight men are losing in those years is unfortunately muscle mass. And for women, it is pretty much sure that this is also a hormonal issue.
We're going to change topics now. This is actually something that's intriguing to me, too. We've all heard about tapping, cranial tapping, thoracic tapping. There was a fellow who wrote a book. Maybe it was Tony Robbins. I'm not sure. But how to break the cycle, thought cycle. They use tapping. You tap the palm of your hand. And there is research out there that tapping has an effect on neuromuscular response. And I guess you dug up there's a recent study published about this, correct?
Yeah, but that's not about tapping. That's about taping.
Oh, man. I feel like a fool.
It was Reddit.
Okay, so scratch all that. I guess maybe what I do is just tape my mouth shut and let you talk. How about that one?
Well, no matter. But in essence, the taping issue is also sort of debatable because if you're looking at athletes these days, you often see them running around with those.
Yeah,
things,
with
those
all the blue, the bright blue tape and so on. Yeah, they tape their shins, they tape their arms, their elbows, everything. I know. Yeah.
When I first saw them, I thought, what's that? Well, athletes are already injured when they are still competing. And in essence, I think that it first started actually out as a means of rehabilitative training or of stabilizing auxiliary muscles. But it turned out that if you apply those tapes according to certain rules, you can really, within seconds, improve your performance to significantly. And there is a recent study which studied the effect in 60 healthy university male athletes, and they looked at the explosive muscle power of the gluteus muscles. And what they found was that that by taping the guys, and they did it in a very funny way because they had to wear those speedo-like shorts, which actually had the tape inside or a placebo inside, so that they didn't know whether they were taped or not. If you look at the photos, it looks sort of funny because it looks even more hilarious than the usual tapes, but it was necessary in order to really blind the study.
Right.
And when they just put those speedos with tapes on it that didn't or were not placed according to the right method, there was basically no increase in performance. But when they were really taped, they found at least in certain measures increases of almost 40% or more. And I think that this is quite astonishing because think about that. You wear the right shorts with those tapes in it, and you can see 40%.
But doesn't the tape have to be make contact with the skin in order for it to have the effect, or is it it's just on the outside of the material? You're saying?
No, it's in the inside of the material.
Okay.
Into it, and they constructed those speedos, which are obviously very tight, in order to really apply the tape onto the skin by just wearing the speedo correctly. And the athletes obviously couldn't tell whether they were wearing a speedo that just looked as if it was correctly taped or whether the tapes were actually placed according to the rules.
Right.
And thus, they really measured an increase in jumping heights and other markers of gluteus strength or explosive strength that I found at least quite remarkable. And this is one of the things you usually don't really believe when you hear it, especially because there are so many gadgets out there that don't really benefit you. For example, those typical electro-stimulus machines you use to train your abs. Most of the commercially available equipment will only burn your skin due to the electricity. But there has been, I think it's about half a year ago, I hit upon an interesting study that actually showed that when you apply professional equipment rightly, you can really maximize also the protein synthetic response, because you can trigger the muscles to contract harder. And in this case, they really combined regular leg training on the leg extension machine simultaneously applied electrostimuli in order to further increase the contractive force of the muscle and elicited greater muscle gains and especially greater strength gains. So those sort of robotic mechanic tools that can help you train harder or increase your performance are probably really underestimated when it comes to ergogenics, because usually we are thinking about certain herbs or maybe synthetic substances you may be taking in order to increase your performance. But I think when they are produced right or professionally and used correctly, there are many things out there that really can really improve your performance. And it doesn't even really have to be a sophisticated device. It's often enough to have a good trainer to really show you how you are doing a deep squat in order to really bring out your gluteus muscle, for example. Because most people, or many people, they obviously know how to squat, but they don't know how to stimulate their muscle while doing that. And that really makes a difference. And when we are thinking about increasing our performance, especially in terms of training for what you may call looking better or for the right looks, people usually think that it's enough to follow the right plan, but that's not really the case. You can throw around tons of weight in the gym without really stimulating the muscle. And on the other hand, you can go there, have a 20-minute workout, and really really blast your muscles and increase the hypertrophy effect much more than within 3 hours of tons of weight moving around from point A to point B in the gym.
Well, and I'll tell you what my take is on the taping. In my humble opinion, I think the taping causes it affects proprioception in that when you look at the way they tape muscles, quite often they tape the insertion and endpoints of the muscles. And I believe, similar to that of an elbow pad that is worn when someone has a tendonitis, let's say a brachial or a forearm tendonitis, it tethers the insertion and or the origination point of the muscle and allows the soft tissue that creates the ligament to be affixed stronger, which in my humble opinion gives feedback through the muscle that we have a great anchor here. You can contract as hard as you want. So my take on the taping is that it works by affixing the connections of the muscle and creating immediate upregulation and tensile strength of those important attachments that then allow the muscle to contract harder, because the proprioceptive feedback through the body is, wow, we can really, really push hard because we're not worried about shearing something off of the bone. Now,
Yeah, that makes sense, especially considering the fact that this study showed increases in explosive dents in particular. And so I think that this is at least a valid hypothesis. I'm not really sure whether it is completely elucidated what exactly or which different mechanisms contribute to this effect. But in the end, it's certainly a part of it, I would say. And it also goes to show you that there is much more to it than having big muscles or strong muscles. It's also about how your nervous system really activates them. And this comes back to being stressed. If you're chronically stressed, you can't really activate all muscles and won't perform at your best in the gym. And I think people who have been taking pre-workout supplements will also be familiar that sometimes they feel totally spiked and like tearing down the gym, but on the other hand, they are actually quite weak because they are so psyched up from all the caffeine in those products or whatever else they are putting in there that they can't really translate the signal from the brain down to the muscle so that it will optimally contract.
What are we only have about 8 minutes. What can we talk about in a short period of time that needs the sniff test? I see the relationship of sex, steroid hormones, and body size. I see another study on erectile dysfunction, and
I think one that's pretty short actually is and pretty easy to be applied in everyday life is the importance of the color purple, because there are certain, you can judge fruits and vegetables actually by their color, because the stuff that gives them color often is also the active ingredient that gives them their antioxidant properties. And there have been a couple of interesting recent studies, for example, on bilberries, on blackcurrant extracts, which obviously have an inhibitory effect against Alzheimer's and dementia. And also on grapeseed plants, grapeseed, especially from the seeds and the skin of red grapes, which are obviously also sort of purple at least, and then the purple colored onions and all the other purple fruits and purple vegetables, most of them contain antioxidants, which are particularly beneficial in view of all things that are related to glucose management and the downstream pathologies, of which we are actually now getting closer and closer to what you've been talking about for years, that Alzheimer's is also sort of a diabetes 3. Also a downstream effect of mismanagement of glucose. And when you remember what I've been saying before, that your brain is actually starving despite the high glucose levels in your blood, it's actually quite clear that that insulin resistance is very bad also for your brain on a mere energetic side of things. That means it does not really get the energy it needs, and therefore it can also not function really well when you're insulin resistant. And many of those purple-colored fruits, also purple sweet potatoes, for example, they contain antioxidants and that are really helpful in blood glucose management, and most of them are now investigated in terms of their effects on brain health and also on the health of the pancreas. And the interesting thing is that some of those studies, meanwhile, are using the same model or the same drug that they are using to induce type 2 diabetes in a rodent model to model Alzheimer's or dementia.
Right.
And in this case, they often call it sporadic dementia of Alzheimer's type. That means it's not the typical formation of plaque, but it has all the symptoms of Alzheimer's, despite not yet having the formation of the beta amyloid plaque in your brain that is so famous for Alzheimer's. And the origination is still the same. It's the same as the one that's, that they've been using to study a type 2 diabetes in rats before.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. And so we have to pay attention to foods with the color purple. That's an easy one to do. Adel Moussa, it's always great to have you on the show. I learn so much. And I get an opportunity to make a fool of myself by misspelling the word taping and tapping. Where else could that happen?
Can happen.
What's that?
It can happen.
Yeah, it can happen.
Taping and tapping, it also helps with proprioception, I would say. Even wearing a very tight T-shirt to the gym sometimes helps. At least makes you feel really big when you're training. Uh-huh. You pumped up.
Look at some of the gear that is used by powerlifters. I mean, it's very, very tight-fitting stuff. They capitalize on something called tissue leverage. Leverage can actually allow you to move more weight. So there's more to it, absolutely. Anyway, the website is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Go there every day and get your dose of Supversity. Adel, thanks for being on the show today, brother.
It was a pleasure.
Okay, talk to you soon. Also want to thank Doug Smith from True Nutrition for coming on. Check out their website, truenutrition.com, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ads. We'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. Thank you for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.